As we continue our look at Ephesians this morning, we come to Ephesians 5, verses 3 through 14. Ephesians 5, verses 3 through 14. This is God's word. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Let's pray that he would teach us this morning. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that Christ would shine on us this morning, that he, in the power of the Spirit, would take his word and break radiant through the shades of night and chase our fears away, that we would know his glory, that we would know his grace, and that we would be molded and conformed evermore into his likeness and image, that we would be children of light and not sons of disobedience. All according to his grace, all for his glory. For we pray these things in his name. Amen. So what do people in our communities, in our world, in your neighborhood, around here, what do people think Christians believe? If you turn on the TV, whether you're watching the news and some talking head on there, or you're watching some TV show that brings some sort of faith into it, it is astounding to me what it is that's communicated about what Christians believe. You would think that to be a Christian in this day and age, you would have to be a Republican. You would have to have voted for Trump. You would have to be offensive to a great majority of those who aren't Christians. You would have to have outdated views of everything. Sexuality, education, creation. It's astounding to me. You would have to be consumed with your own vision of morality and look down your nose at everybody else. And I wonder sometimes, why is it? Why do people think this about Christianity? Every time they have some special guest on the news who's some representative of faith and he's talking, almost every time I'm like, I don't even know what you believe. It's not the Christianity I've been taught. It's not what I've read in Scripture. Why is it then? Why is it people have this view of Christianity that is unhinged from what Scripture says about us? What are we known for? Well, the Scripture says what we ought to be known for. What we ought to have displayed before the world. What people ought to behold us and see is summed up in verse 8. At one time, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Jesus said it this way, you are the light of the world. You are salt and light in this world. You shouldn't cover your light under a bushel. You shouldn't hide your light. You should shine forth with it boldly, without shame, without fear, because you are light in the Lord. And if you are light in the Lord, if you are children of light, you ought to live like it. And in this passage, Paul tells us two ways we live as children of light. Two ways that we are to go out into this world and bear witness to who our God is and what He's done. And the first is this. Because you are light in the Lord, you cannot participate in darkness. Because you are light in the Lord, you cannot participate in darkness. This is what verse 7 is getting at. Do not associate with them. What this literally, have no part in what they're doing. Don't participate with this. Because light has no participation with darkness. Even the weakest light in the darkest room cuts through it. You know, back in the younger days, there's this one room in my house that I grew up in where you could close all the doors and shut off all the lights, and there were no windows anywhere near. It was utter pitch black. And it didn't matter what kind of light you brought in, a mag light, a little pin light, light a match. I'm not recommending you do that in any room in your house. Didn't matter. It would light up the whole space. Light cuts through darkness. And so if you are children of light, if you are light in the Lord, you cannot have any participation with darkness. Because he says here, you are saints. You are his holy ones. That's what that means, literally. Set apart for him, for his kingdom. And because you're his, set apart by him and for him, for his kingdom, it's not proper for you to embrace the works of darkness that seek to overthrow the kingdom of God. He lists some of those works here. Scripture lists works of darkness in a variety of ways, in a variety of places. And here he tells us sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, which he calls idolatry, should not even be named among you. It should have no association with you because you are saints, God's holy ones. Instead, you are to bear the fruit of light, goodness, righteousness, and truth should characterize who you are. Because of whose you are. And so this sexual immorality goes against God's design in creation. We'll talk about marriage later when we get further in chapter 5. But Paul quotes Genesis 2. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother, be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. There is this leaving and this covenant, this cleaving, this public acknowledgement that something new is taking place, and because of that, the two become one flesh. God created marriage, and he created sex, and he created relationships, and he created men and women, and he created and designed them all good. But the works of darkness cut through that and undermine that, and sexual immorality takes what is good and puts it to use in ways that are destructive and idolatrous. He says there shouldn't be impurity named among you. We were created in righteousness, created without sin, created to live in God's presence. It says that God would walk in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. And there was Adam and Eve. There was fellowship and communion there. We were created to live in His presence, in righteousness and holiness, not to taint it with impurity and pursuing sinful lusts. This covetousness that he speaks of, this longing for more and more of whatever it is that gives our heart satisfaction at that particular moment, this idolatry of the heart where we find our satisfaction and our purpose and our meaning and our fulfillment in it, should not be. Because we were created by God to worship the Creator, not to worship created things. And covetousness, the idolatry of it, finds itself worshiping created things, whether money or people or reputation or power or whatever. Paul says, this shouldn't be named among you. You are His holy ones, set apart for His kingdom. And you are called to live as members of that kingdom. These things, sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, these have no place in the kingdom of God. That's why he says, make no mistake, those who pursue these things have no inheritance in Christ or in God. These are sobering words. It's a little bit like the oven and the stovetop. And you've got the little toddlers running around the house and they're starting to pull themselves up on everything and they don't know any better. And they go to reach for the stove and what do? You smack their hand down. You don't want them to get burned. It's a sharp rebuke to be sure, but it is one that saves them worse trouble. So here is a sharp rebuke reminding those who call on the name of the Lord that we are His, that we were called and redeemed to be members of His kingdom, not the kingdom of darkness, not the kingdom of rebellion. There is no place, nothing of these works of darkness in the kingdom of God. And so when we take a step back, and we consider this warning and what it means for us and for our lives, you have to ask, are you desensitized to what darkness really is? I mean, we live in this world that exults and rejoices in the things of darkness, that rejoices in sexual immorality, that has seminars for freshmen in college to tell them how to pursue sexual immorality and impurity. TV and movies and social media full of new and ever more inventive ways to pursue covetousness and materialism and consumerism. Have you grown numb to it? These things, it says, must not even be named among you, as is proper for the saints. Because the works of darkness have no good thing to give us. Every good thing, every good and perfect gift comes from God. And so we are to live not bowing to these things that will end in our destruction, but to bow to the giver of all good things, to the God who is light, and to give Him thankful hearts. This is why Paul says that there is no place for words of darkness among God's people. In verse 4, he says, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. Instead, let there be thanksgiving. I mean, these words, these, he calls them later in verse 6, deceptive and empty words. There's nothing there. They have the ring of truth, or they have the ring of satisfaction. They give a laugh for a moment, but there's no substance to them. It's like hopping in your car when you're late for a meeting and noticing the empty light's on. You're like, oh, but I've got plenty to get there. And your car dies right there at the bottom of a hill. You can't even coast into the station. It's happened to me. And this is what it's like. Fill your heart and your mouth with these words. There's no return. It's empty and deceitful. They give you the sense of satisfaction, the sense of power, the sense of fulfillment, but there's nothing there. And there's no room in God's kingdom for that sort of speech. Jesus is the Word incarnate. He's given us an eternal Word that never returns void. He doesn't have room in His kingdom for words that are empty and deceitful. And so Paul says very sharply, let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Our speech is to bear the fruit of thankfulness. I mean, think about it. What kind of heart produces empty and deceitful words? Jesus says it's not your tongue that makes you feel. It's out of the heart that comes these things. It's out of the heart that overflows these things. What sort of heart produces words that are empty and deceptive? What kind of heart buys in to words that are empty and deceptive? And what Paul is saying is we are to have hearts that are renewed in the Lord and devoted to Him. And the fruit of a heart that's devoted to the Lord is a thankful heart. Is a heart that looks to God and sees Him as the giver of every good gift, and doesn't rejoice in the things of darkness, but rejoices in the things He gives, whatever it is He gives. Whether it's trial, whether it's sorrow, whether it's a promotion, whether it's goodness, whether it's a wonderful time with family, or a really difficult day at work, whatever comes to you from the Lord's hand is still a good gift from Him, because it molds your heart ever more and more like Him. And it could be that we don't step back enough and say, how can I be thankful in this? See, what Paul is saying is, at one time you were darkness. At one time these things came naturally to you. At one time you bought into the lies of the world. The words held weight for you. At one time you participated in the works of darkness. They were fulfilling to you, but no longer. You are light in the Lord. And so not only should you not participate in the works of darkness, it tells us the second thing is that because you are light, you should shine. You should shine. That's what light does. Back before LED lights were a thing, and you could carry the sun in your pocket, I had a big mag light in my car, and I held that for emergencies, whether I needed to see something in the dark or hit somebody in the dark, or wherever. I had this huge D-cell mag light. And the one time I needed it, I don't remember why, I don't remember if I was trying to see something in the car, if I was stopping to help somebody, or if I just dropped my keys under the seat. The one time I actually needed the mag light, it didn't work. The batteries were dead. It was too cold. What good is it to have this expensive mag light in your car if it's nothing more than a big stick? Light needs to shine, or it's not light. And you are children of light. You, it says, are light in the Lord. And that's important to realize. You're not your own light. Your light in the Lord. The light that you are to shine forth with isn't your light, it's Christ's light. What does it say in 1 John? We read this. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And if we have fellowship with Him, we have fellowship with one another and the Son and with God. We walk in the light. But it's not our light. It's God's light. And yet what is so amazing in this verse, what is so powerful, and it's the theme that Paul has been making since the very beginning of this book, is that so connected are we to Jesus by faith. That when you turn your eyes from the things of this world, when your eyes are healed from the blindness of darkness, and you are able to look to Jesus in faith, when you are able to see who He really is and what it is He's really done, when you look to Him in faith, the Holy Spirit so connects you, so ties you, so seals you with Jesus so closely that it can be said that you are light in the Lord. You were darkness. Paul is not saying here, we're better than this people. No, he makes no bones about it. You were darkness. You were full of evil. Your heart was in rebellion against God. You delighted in idolatry. You delighted in coveting things of this world. And you still probably struggle with that a great deal because that darkness doesn't go away quietly. But in Christ, you are light. Shine with that. Not your morality. Not your view of how everything should go. Not your judgment of how everybody's not living up to their potential. You shine with the light of Christ. The light that has the power to take those who are blinded in darkness and give them eyes to see. The light that has the power to take hearts consumed by darkness and give them new life. The light that can make those who are sons of disobedience children of light, children of the living God. Shine with that. But is that what Christians are known for around here? Is that what you're known for? And what do you shine forth with? If people think about you, what do they think? Well, they're a really hard worker. They do their job with excellence. They're incredible people. You can really rely on them. That must be what Christianity is all about. Wow, their family is so put together and so well-dressed, and everybody seems to be obedient. I mean, I guess there's a family out there like that. Somewhere. The Holy Grail. That must be what Christianity is all about. Wow, they know so much. Every question I have, they have read R.C. Sproul's book, that's a good question, and they know the answers by heart. That must be what Christianity is all about. Or do you shine with the light of Christ? It says, I was once darkness, but Jesus made me new. Because as children of light, it's true, we should bear fruit. We should have lives that are set apart for Him. Paul tells us right here in verse 9 that we should walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. All that is good and right and true. And how you do your job, and how you raise your family, and how you treat your neighbors, and how you mow your lawn, how you read the paper. What, like everything that you are, and everything that you do, and everything that you have falls under this. Should walk in light. It should be characterized by goodness and righteousness and truth. But we don't shine with our light. We shine with the light of Christ. And we bear fruit of the light of Jesus working in us. What does that fruit look like? Well, it touches everything. It's good. It's right. It's true. What is it exactly? Well, Paul gives us a hint here. He says, try to discern the will of God. Just try. And you could do it by asking this question. What pleases God? What makes God happy? And he's not saying you've got to make God happy so he likes you. He's already said you're light in God. To bear the fruit of light, what does it look like? It looks like living the way your Father calls you to live. It looks like being children of light. How do you know what pleases God? If you're like me, it's way easier to think, well, how do I feel about this? Do I have a peace? I have an inner peace about this. I should completely just rip this wall out and start anew. That's not always the wise thing, and that peace can lie to you. Or sometimes we look for a sign. Well, God didn't close the door, so it must be okay. Or we just get advice from everybody. What do you think I should do? What do you think I should do? And we keep asking people until somebody tells us what we want to hear. That's not how you figure out what pleases God. What pleases God, he tells us. He tells us in his word. He answers our prayers. You want to know what pleases God? Get to know him. Seek him. Because when we shine with the light of Christ in what we say and in how we live, something incredible happens. Darkness is exposed. And what's even more incredible is that Paul is not talking about exposing darkness so that we can stand pointing our finger. It's this weird set of verses. It's driven quantum physicists crazy. It's when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. What in the world does that even mean? Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is what he's saying. When you walk as children of light, and you shine forth with the light of Christ in word and in deed, God uses it to spread the light. How did you move from darkness to light? How did you hear the good word? How did you come to know Christ? How did you come to the place where you looked to him in faith? That same thing he's using you to do for others. And when you expose the darkness, he's saying, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. It's shameful even to speak of those things that they do in secret. We're exposing the darkness not so that we can make a litany of them, but so that we can call people into the light, to walk as children of the light. And God does it. Awake, O sleeper. This is a way of talking about those who are dead. Dead in their sins. Dead in their trespasses, arise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. When we shine forth with the light of Christ, God uses it to bring others into the light. And you may wonder, I'm not up to that task. Being a Christian in the public square is dangerous these days. As soon as somebody finds out you're an evangelical Christian, just watch out. But we're not shining with our light. And we're not raising people from the dead. But so connected are we to Christ he is able to shine forth even through us, as feeble and as frail as we may be, because even the weakest light cuts through the darkest dark. what are Christians known for around here? You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would make this so, reminding us that we represent not just ourselves, not just our families, not just our friends. We represent you. We're your saints. Help us to live lives of thankfulness. Help us to bear fruit of goodness and truth and righteousness. Help us to shine forth with the light of Christ that others might be invited in, that your light might shine upon them, that we might call forth, "Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, let Christ shine on you." Give us words, give us deeds, not of darkness, but of the light of Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.